Welcome back to the Guardian with Joy and Holly Radio Show. Wendy Silvera be with us momentarily, but first, do you have problems with Japanese beetles? Well, Rescue has the product that can fix that situation for you.
Japanese beetle traps, when used properly, draw beetles away from your plants and trees. The trick is to hang them 30 feet from the plants you want to protect. That way, you lure the beetles away from the areas you want that they're causing damage and that traps them. Rescue Japanese beetle traps are the only traps with a controlled release lure that lasts the entire beetle season. Their extra large bags is welded directly to the trap and stays put even when it's full of beetles. And the Rescue Japanese beetle trap is the only trap with a reusable bag that opens and closes at the bottom. So if beetle season is a bad one, you just open, empty, keep trapping the beetles with the same trap. Like all Rescue products, they're made in the USA. You go to rescue.com. That's rescue.com.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Wendy Silvera is a longtime gardener, garden coach, author, and more. Her book, Containers and Raised Bed Gardening for Beginners and Beyond, is full of great information. Welcome to the program, Wendy.
Thank you so much, Holly. Good of you both to have me here.
Well, we thank you for taking time out of your day to join not only Holly and us, but all of our listeners across the country and enlighten all of us with some of your gardening knowledge.
That would be great. Thank you.
So you grow and raise beds, as we do. What are some very common mistakes to avoid for those who have not taken the raised bed garden plunge just yet?
Ah, Joey, the benefit of hindsight. Well, first thing, and there are more than these, but I have about four or five hot issues which I would really like to share with your listeners. The first one is I believe you should have your raised bed properly orientated, which means running it north to south. So you sometimes see people as you walk around neighborhoods, it tends to be a little willy-nilly. Some run north to south, east to west, etc. But if you run them north to south, the entire bed will receive the maximum amount of sun. And that's certainly something to think about. I think people they're so excited about raised beds, they don't think about the theory behind it. So that's point number one. And then you come to possibly one of the most expensive aspects of soil mix. And people always moan about this, particularly on Facebook. I belong to a lot of gardening groups. And that is, you know, you really want to use the best possible soil mix. You don't want to just take dirt from your yard and use it in your raised bed. Ideally, you want your raised bed soil mix to be light, airy, what we call lofty. It's this wonderful word. Sounds like a mattress, but the raised bed soil mix should be lofty, full of air, very loose, allowing roots to move through it really easily. And if you're going to do that, it is on the expensive side, and you can use a really wonderful thing is to use Mel's Magic Mix. He's of Square Foot Gardening fame. Maybe we'll get to that later. And essentially, it's equal parts compost, peat, and perlite. And as I said, a bit on the pricey side, but so much better. If you can't go that route, there are alternatives, but that is the ideal. Then you want to consider the size of the bed. So let's look first of all at the width. You don't want to go wider than 4 foot because the idea is you can access the center from any point outside the bed. And assuming the bed's not running up against a wall, you know, the average person should be able to reach the center of the bed. If you think you're not going to be able to, then reduce that width to, let's say, 3 foot. But don't go wider than that because what's going to happen is the only way you're probably going to be able to access the center is you're going to have to climb into the bed. The minute you do that, you compact the soil. Your lovely, light, airy soil has then changed. And then a fourth factor is ensure that the raised bed is deep enough. And there are varying views on this. Personally, I always recommend if people are able to go this route to go 12 inches. That will accommodate most vegetables with the possible exception of asparagus. And But it will allow you to grow really long carrots, for example. And remember, whatever depth of raised bed you go, you want to leave at least 2 inches at the top to accommodate your mulch, because that's really important, especially where I am, and we have to really conserve as much moisture as we can. And then hardy annual, the fifth factor that I must just mention is make sure that you protect your raised bed against anything, any type of rodent like a mole, vole, or the bane of our existence here, gophers. Because as soon as you've got a raised bed, you create essentially a smorgasbord, and those gophers will come. And you don't ever want them coming up into your raised bed. So, you know, prevention is better than cure. What you do is when you've either got your kit of your raised bed or you've built one yourself, what you then do is you on the bottom of it, you attach what's called hardware cloth. Now, if ever there was a misnomer, hardware cloth is it, because it sounds like fabric. It is actually galvanized mesh with an aperture of either a quarter or half an inch. You would attach this very firmly to the base of the bed. And if you have any overlaps, depending on the size of your bed, make sure that you overlap the hardware cloth and you run a wire through it, because you don't ever want them somehow finding a weak point, which they will, and coming up into your raised bed. That would be the kiss of death. So that's pretty much what I would say to folks is, you know, go into the theory of it before you rush in. And just one magic tip, you know, start small. I think people get so excited and they want to have 4 raised beds because they see things on Facebook and it looks so easy. Start small with 1, and then if you like it, do another 1 or 2 the next season and so forth.
Definitely. So your recent book, Containers and Raised Bed Gardening for Beginners and Beyond, has great information. Why should our listeners check it out? And is there perhaps a handy or a unique tip in the book that would pique their interest?
Well, I think Holly, thank you for that. What makes our book a little different to the raised bed books out there or the container books out there is that it's a book on both of them. Personally, I do raised bed gardening and I do containers. I think one can make a case for both of them. I think they complement each other. And so when we wrote the book, we actually came up with the concept of incorporating both. That's the first thing. And then secondly, it's not limited to just vegetables. I'm a great herb grower. I also grow some fruit and cut flowers. So we incorporated all 4 of those into the book. There are 50 quick reference growing guides in the book so that you can jumpstart your gardening with information at your fingertips. If you're into square foot gardening, I include plans for spring, summer, and fall gardening. And then last but not least, I'm a great baker and cook. And so I use a lot of my produce from the garden in recipes. So the book culminates in probably my favorite section, which is tried and tested recipes using produce from the garden.
Well, you brought up containers for people who may have not got into gardening yet. We're just getting close to late portions of June, early July. That doesn't mean you can't start a garden. So with containers, how does one know or determine what size of a container they should use for a particular plant?
Great question, Joey, and that's quite a long story, so I know we don't have unlimited time. So with your permission, I'd refer people to either the book, in which I go into quite a lot of detail, and I also have just published a blog on it recently, in which I distinguish between cool season, warm season, fruit, herbs, and the ideal requirements for, you know, if you're in a container, how many plants you can get into a container. Because I think that's always the key question beginner gardeners want to know: how many can I put in? And I think they probably tend to plant them too closely. So I hope that the folks your listeners may go and look at the blog and see that. But as a rule of thumb, what I would say is the larger the pot, the better. That's what I've always done. And people will argue that, you know, you can grow something in a smaller pot than maybe what I said in the blog, and that may be true. But in order for the plant to really thrive, you want a pot that can fully accommodate the roots. So there's a difference between the plant does okay and the plant does really well. And you know, just to bear in mind that small pots dry out really quickly. So that's something also to be said for going for a larger pot.
Well, you enjoy square foot gardening. What is square foot gardening, and why do you prefer this method so much versus a lot of the other methods of gardening?
So square foot gardening, very close to my heart. It's a highly intensive method of raised bed gardening that basically allows you to leverage literally every square inch of your raised bed. If I think of pictures I see on gardening sites on Facebook and in different groups, people have masses of space between the plants. They don't do what's called interplanting. They don't plant closely. And I think, they could get so much more in. Now, square foot gardening is a method of gardening devised by a guy called Mel Bartholomew, actually 40 years ago this year, in which your raised bed is divided into 12-inch squares. So if you have an 8-foot by 2-foot raised bed, that would give you 16 square foot or 16 squares. Then using Mel's Magic Mix, which I referenced earlier, which is this wonderful mixture of compost, peat, and perlite with this lofty soil, you then would follow the guidelines of a square foot gardening. It's all laid out for you. There are masses of tables on this. So, and it works the following way. The larger the plant, the more space it requires. So, for example, a tomato or a zucchini would require one square, a whole 12-inch square area, because you would actually divide your raised bed up into these squares. There are different ways of doing that. Herbs like parsley and chives, they're smaller, so they go closer. You would get 4 in a square. Onions, 9 in a square, and carrots, the smaller still, you'd be able to get 16 into the square. We actually have a really handy-dandy little gadget in our store, which enables you – it's virtually a template for planting and for making square-foot gardening work. It certainly is the most intensive way. I don't know if it's necessarily the best way for beginners, but it's a fabulous method.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate the information you've provided during our time together. Could you tell our listeners how to find all of your great information in your book?
Sure, Holly. Well, the book is available on Amazon and various other sites, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, etc. It's in Kindle on Amazon and also in grayscale and color. It's called Container and Raised Bed Gardening for Beginners and Beyond. In addition, I have a website, wendysgardenstore.com. And the blog is on that. That's where you'd find the blog, for example, on containers and what plants suit, what size container per plant. We also, on the website, we have a storefront, specialized gardening tools like the one I referenced a moment ago, this fabulous square foot gardening gadget, down to literally everything, including even hammocks for growing, cantaloupe and that type of thing. There are actually hammocks available. And then lastly, I have a Facebook group which is quite active called Container and Raised Bed Gardening. And people are doing a really nice set of folks doing good stuff on the group.
Well, Wendy, again, your website again?
wendysgardenstore.com, and that's W-E-N-D-Y.
Well, Wendy, we greatly appreciate the time you've offered with us, not only Holly and myself, but all of our listeners.
Well, Joey and Holly, thank you for having me. It's been an absolute delight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.